Number 101. 101. First and last. Come, let us all unite to say, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. Promises our spirits cheer. God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to say that God is. After this hymn, we will go to God in prayer. Numbers 1 and 3.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I grow him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life.
Would you bow with me? Dear Father, as we come together this morning, we rejoice in the life that you have given us and for the blessings that you send each of us. This day also, dear Father, we thank you for protecting us through the ravages of the storms of life. We pray, dear Father, that you look kindly upon us. We pray that you look upon our nation, that you'll help those who are suffering through the storms of life, not just those tied to weather, but sickness, of spiritual sickness. We pray, dear Father, that you will heal this nation, that you'll help us to care for one another and to fulfill the promise that Christ gave us, the hope that you have always had for us, that we would love one another. Pray especially, dear Father, for those in the South who are suffering through the ice storm and the snow and the cold temperatures. Pray that you'll help them to overcome the difficulties that they're in. We pray for this congregation, dear Father, that we will be a light unto this community. We pray that you will look after our number who are sick at this time or in need of healing. We pray that you look after our sister Rita Boss' family in this hour of despair as they mourn her loss. We pray, dear Father, you'll be with our brother Wiley Edwards as he is recovering in the hospital, that you be with brother Ron Beatty, you'll be with sister Sharon English, you'll be with Tiffany Henson, Nadine Rue, be with Etta Bowen, and all those, dear Father, who are mending. Be with us, dear Father, that we may shoulder the work and enjoy the work, that we'll have a will to work. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Number 339, in preparation for the Lord's Supper. First and last.
Lo, in the great healing, Jesus, my Savior,
keep his friend. As we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 16 through 17, we can read of the what this taking of the Lord's Supper, the opportunity that it presents to us. It gives us the opportunity to share in this important, significant moment, to come together as Christians, to all be able to clear our minds, to be able to reflect, to make sure that our hearts are in the right place. And this is something that we have the opportunity to do together, to do as one. You know, we all know that when Jesus gave his life on the cross, he gave his life for everyone. And this is a chance for everyone here that are as Christians to take this moment to not rush into partaking of the Lord's Supper, but to take a moment to just reflect on the importance of what that sacrifice meant to each and every one of us. So as we prepare to partake of this, let us all keep that in mind. We have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful for you for loving this world so much that you was willing to give unto this world your only begotten Son, to put forth that great plan of salvation, Heavenly Father. And for thy Son, Jesus, to be willing to give his life on the cross, knowing the suffering that he was going to endure. And even though he had the power to save himself, Heavenly Father, his love was so great that he was willing to become that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm of encouragement this morning will be number 913. Number 913, mark that in. Sing the first and last verse of number 559. 559.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance with heart and free. This
of the life. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. I have the New King James translation. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Brother Skip.
Good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us and allowed us to be able to see this day, to be able to come to worship with him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day and, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation, and Lord, at the conclusion of this message, the things that we've fallen short of, Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before everlasting too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk this morning, sign, seal, delivered. I'm yours. This song was actually written by Stevie Wonder, trying to get back in favor with his woman who he messed up with. But I want you to clear your minds, because you're wondering, where is he going with it? I'm not going the way you think I'm going. So I want you to clear your mind for a second, so we can focus upon just this title, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Because many of us, no doubt, have messed up with God. And we need to get back in favor with God. And so I want you to examine yourselves this morning as we look at this subject, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. First of all, we look at the word sign. When you think of sign, you think of signatures. A signature speaks of ownership. When you buy a car, you have to sign the title. When you buy a house, you sign some papers and your name is placed on the deed. You may have and write as many paychecks as you want to. Your name may be on your paycheck, but a signature requires a deposit. Now, before you think that, hey, I got direct deposit, I never see the paycheck. But I'm here to tell you there still was first a signature to release that direct deposit. And I can write as many checks to you as I want, but in order for you to receive the reward of that check, you must first sign it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the question that I raised to you this morning, are you signed with Christ? In other words, does he have ownership of you? And let me give you just a couple of thoughts about his signature. Number one, his signature was written in red. Look at verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He paid for us in full with his own shed blood. He loved you so much that he laid down his own life for our sins. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to clean up before you come to his house. Why? Because in Romans 5 and verse 8, he said, but God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But not only is it written in red, but we have an inheritance in verse number 11. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And since we have his signature, we become heirs to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. By being his heir, we are entitled to his strength. We are entitled to his power. We are entitled to all that he has and that he will give us. See, Christ paid for our sins with his shed blood. and we are entitled to all he has to offer. And I'm here to tell you, that's a lot. He has peace. He has joy. He has contentment. He has love. And the list can go on and on. But he also gives us a choice to accept or reject the great gift. And when we are saved, he places his signature upon us. When Christ puts his name on us, he identifies himself as owner. But first of all, this gift, number one, has to be signed. But then in our text, we can see, secondly, that this gift has been sealed. Look at verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What kind of seal is Paul talking about? You see, you got to remember, back in the time that a seal was an official mark of identification that was placed on a letter, that is placed on a contract, that is placed on a document. When a raw business was conducted, the document was sealed with hot wax, and it was imprinted with the king's signet ring. A king's seal signified three things. Number one, it signified ownership. You see, written in the king's name, he sealed it with his signet ring. In other words, that was the king's property. Not only does it was sealed with ownership, but also secondly, it meant security. The built-in security of the seal was the king's authority. And if you break that seal, you would die. But then thirdly, it was unchangeable. You see, no one, not even the king himself, could reverse such a decree. Y'all remember King Darius. You remember he was tricked and forced to throw Daniel in the lion's den because of his unchangeable decree. You read it in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 6 through verse 16. And so when we speak of being sealed today, what does that mean to us? Well, by being sealed, number one, we first accept Christ. And by doing so, we declare that he has ownership. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For in verse 20, he said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. We are sealed. He owns us, and we are his. But then not only does it mean he has ownership, but security. In John chapter 10, and verse 27, beginning in verse 20 through 29. In John 10, 27 and 29, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. You see, the built-in security of our seal is the king's authority. It's the Lord's authority. But then not only do we see ownership, not only do we see security, but we see it's unchangeable. In John chapter 6 and verse 37 through 39, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." You see, the king has promised to us, "By no means will I cast out the ones who come to him to break the king's seal on a believer would be to cast out one who has believed him, making him a liar." But he said, "I will in no wise cast out those who come to him." You can't help but change after you receive Christ, because you can't put something that is good into something that is bad and there won't be a change. But then after we have been signed, after we've been sealed, then we need to be delivered. What are we delivered from? We are delivered from guilt. We are delivered from the sins of our past. We are washed clean. We are delivered out of fear. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. No longer, church, do we have to fear anything. Why is that? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can have deliverance from continual sins. How do you know? In Romans chapter 7, Paul said something in verse 24 and 25. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." No longer, church. No longer should the things of this world bring us down, because he has the power, he has the strength to deliver us. And now for the last point that we want to look at. Yes, he signed us, he sealed us, he delivered us, and we can say, "I'm yours. I'm yours." You see, when you get married, you say vows to God and to witnesses that are there that you are giving yourself to your spouse. "I'm yours till death do us part." By saying "I'm yours," you are freely, totally giving yourself to that person. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that is the kind of commitment we need to have to the one who have signed ownership to us by his death, by his shedding his blood for our sins, who sealed us with the Holy Spirit to be his forever. He delivered us from our bondage of sin. We need to be committed to him. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When Paul speaks of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning that we should use our bodies to serve God and to obey God. When you look at the word holy means set apart for the Lord's use. When you look at the word acceptable, the word acceptable means pleasing to him. When you look at the word reasonable, it indicates that that should be the least we should do for all that he has done for you and I. We are not to be conformed to this world. When the world sees us, they ought to see something different about us. Renewing our minds. When you renew something, it's not a one-time thing. We need to daily seek God. We do so by daily talking to him, by daily getting into this his word, and daily ask him to use us for his glory. And so the question I leave to you this morning is, are you being all you should be for the Lord? Are you doing all that you should be doing for the Lord? Because he signed us, he sealed us, he delivered us. And because of that, today we ought to stand and say, I'm yours. I'm going to be committed to you for the rest of my life. And church, when we learn to do that, we can truly say, I'm signed, I'm sealed, I'm delivered, and God, I'm yours. Use me as you see fit. If you're here this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life on Calvary's cross. God did his part. Christ did his part. The Holy Spirit has done his part. And now it's up to us to do our part. God has left us a plan. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to follow his plan. What is his plan? That you hear God's Son. That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That you repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. You confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. That you go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Then the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2, verse 47. What church? The church that he set up on his rock I build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. What church? The church he's the head of. He loved it. He's the Savior. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, 23 and following. Then you got to live faithfully. You got to be committed to to him until he calls you from labor to reward. If you're hearing a Christian, you've not been living as a Christian should, why not respond to his invitation? Come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Come to Jesus, he will save.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, Father, we first come to you first and foremost, Father, just thanking you for who you are, Lord. Thanking you for being the head of our lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord, just for loving us, Father, even though we don't deserve it, God. We just thank you for that first and foremost, Lord. Lord, we thank you for health. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to get up out of our beds this morning, Father, to come and be able to hear a portion of your word, Father, and be able to worship you and praise you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask at this time that you will continue to forgive us of our sins, Father, both known and unknown, Lord, as we continue to try to go through this life, Lord. Father, we ask that you will continue to bless those, Father, that was mentioned that are sick, those that are bereaved, Lord, that you will comfort their families, Father, and you will, if it be thy will, you will bring them back to their appointed health. Father, we ask that you continue to lead us and guide us through the remainder of this day, the remainder of our lives, Father, and as we leave this place, Father, that you will continue to protect us. Build that fence around us, Lord. We ask in all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.